Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to deal with anxiety. So it's a juicy topic. It's one I have lots of experience with, which I'll talk about. I'll go into a bit more detail about my own journey with it and struggle with it even now, because it's a hot topic for me. And I'm going to share three key things that are really helpful for you to be aware of and for you to take action on as well. And the reason I want to have this conversation is I think it's still not a conversation we have enough in this sphere of podcasts and social media. And actually, it's something that I think the more we talk about it, the more people realize they're not alone and they're not weird and they're not broken. You know, all these things that we can fill our brains with, actually dealing with anxiety is just... It's kind of just a part of some people's lives. And actually, there can be some real legitimate reasons for it, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But before we dive in, I would love it if you're using your laptop or your smartphone to head over to Whole and Healthy Live on iTunes and leave us a review. Reviews really help the iTunes people to see this podcast, to share it with other people. And me and Laura really would love to get this message of body positivity, of deep health, of body love, self-care out to as many people as possible. So we would love it if you would head over to there, just click on to search Whole Healthy Life podcast in iTunes, even if you're already subscribed, and then click leave a review. And we would love it if you mentioned it on there. So, anxiety. I imagine a lot of you listening to this probably deal with it in some kind of way. For me, my story has been, just in summary, I've always been a really anxious child. It started from childhood, so going to school made me anxious, doing times tables tests made me anxious, spelling tests made me anxious, going to friends' houses. It started from a very young age, so it was actually, it took me a long time to realize it was a problem, because it was just so normal. And even now, I feel like as an adult, you know, I'm about to turn 30, I feel like there's still a part of me that thinks it's more normal than what it should be. So that started from a really young age. And then probably it was when I was maybe like 20, I can't remember exactly what age I was diagnosed as depressed as well. So I managed my anxiety through school and things, just by feeling sick most of the time. And I had really, really awful bowel problems. A lot of my health history has been chronic diarrhea, and that was often linked a lot to my anxiety and stress. So school and then starting uni just meant, you know, 5, 6, 7 trips to the toilet every day, which was as fun as it sounds, and a couple of other health issues as well that really kind of, it's a bit, and to be honest, with health issues and anxiety and depression, it's a bit chicken and egg sometimes. What comes first, the anxiety or the physical health issues? You know, in my case, I think it was my gut health issues that came first, but with everyone it's different, and I've noticed that with my one-to-one clients as well. So that's where it began. I went to the doctors, filled in that questionnaire that is so depressing to fill in, that if you're not depressed before you fill it in, you certainly are by the time you finished filling it in. They were like, and so they offered me antidepressants. At the time, I didn't feel like that was a good step for me. That was just a personal choice. I think antidepressants can be the right choice for people, but I knew that it felt like a bigger problem. It wasn't just my brain. It felt like a spiritual thing. It felt like a physical thing. It felt like a lifestyle thing. All of these different stuff aspects. So that was me. And then with depression, that's a whole other story of how I overcame that, really. And it's quite miraculous, really. But that's another story for another time. But at that point, I really started to improve my, probably 2 years after that, maybe three, probably more like three, actually. I felt like that depression had left, that kind of heavy cloud of doom. Like, you know, when you wake up, and if you've never been depressed, you might not resonate with this, but you wake up and you kind of, for a split second, you wake up hoping that this cloud has shifted. And then you wake up and it takes a couple of seconds and you realize it's still there. That gray pit, it's still there hovering over you. And no matter what you do, it doesn't shift. And it's so hard. I found, depression is not... It's not a fun thing. It's not something we talk about enough. Same with anxiety. And they are linked, definitely. So this whole time of being depressed, I was also highly anxious, stuck on the toilet, not sleeping very well, you know, having nightmares, all of these kinds of things. I actually had nightmares and problems sleeping right up until I was a teenager. I moved house and moved schools when I was about 14. And I definitely have memories of having nightmares and going to sleep in my mum and dad's room. I think I maybe chucked my dad out of his bed because by 14 I was like the size I am now. So I think I booted him out of bed and I would just sleep with my mum in bed because the anxiety and the nightmares and all of that kind of thing. So as time went on, I really, after sort of early and mid-20s, I really started to realize, oh my goodness, I need to sort out my gut health, because as I was saying, I was having loads of gut health issues, diarrhea, bloating, pain, spasms, all of this sort of stuff. So that's when I really started to address that. And I had seen a real shift and change in the depression, and that had really left after a couple of years. But as I started to work on my gut health, I really noticed that my anxiety levels and that cloud just carried on lifting from me. And now, to the point, I wouldn't ever say now I'm really depressed on a regular basis, but my anxiety has carried on throughout the years. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this today was actually recently I felt like my anxiety has gone up a level, and I really want to go deep at looking at dealing with it and getting to some of the root issues. And I'm going to talk about what those different things could potentially be for you today. And I know for me that I've been working through this list myself. And it might be that it's all three of these things, that it might be one or of these triggers that I'm going to talk about. But what I'm going to do is explain some of the potential stuff that could be going on that I've learned from dealing with my own journey and dealing with my own anxiety, and also that with clients. I have to say probably about 80% of the clients I work with on a one-to-one basis on some level struggle with low mood, depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues. I'm not a mental health specialist, but often people come to me with digestive issues or hormonal issues, and they often are hugely linked to your anxiety and mental health issues, and I'll explain a little bit about that. So when it comes to how to deal with anxiety, the first thing you've got to do is look at really what's the root cause of the anxiety. So that might be really simple. It might be a case of you're in a relationship that you don't want to be in anymore, but you're too scared to break the end of the relationship, and that's making you anxious. That could be an easy solve. You just need to end the relationship and boom, the anxiety disappears. It could be that you got a deadline at work in 2 weeks. You're anxious to get that done. After those 2 weeks, you do it, that anxiety is gone. So there's that short-term anxiety. But the things I want to explain to you about are these root causes of potential kind of long-standing anxiety, where you're maybe anxious about the fact that you're anxious, or you're anxious about the fact that you're looking for things to be anxious about. You're anxious about what to have for breakfast, anxious about your day, what people think, your diary, if that person read that text in a certain way. You know, all of these things I obviously have no experience with. I lie. I've gotten anxious about all of those things. Especially, I sometimes find that I get anxious about being anxious quite a lot, which when you say it out loud, you totally are like, oh my goodness, that is hilarious. But hey, this is sometimes the way the brain works. So what could be root causes? Number one, is there a physical reason for your anxiety? So this can look like a couple of things. So number one, it can be gut health. There is tons of research linking your gut health with your mental health. Your gut, meaning from your mouth to your ass, including your mouth, esophagus, stomach, intestines, small intestines. You could probably include your liver and pancreas in there. That is often called your second brain. It has a similar kind of number of neurons as your brain. It's a similar kind of cells that make your brain also at the very, very beginning when you were just growing in the womb, also are the things, the same cells that make your gut. So there's a real link between your mind and your gut. There's lots of research around this. There's a great diet. There's lots of stuff around autism and diet, depression and diet, schizophrenia and diet, all of these sorts of different things. So if you're really struggling with some digestive symptoms, maybe bloating, maybe you're constipated a lot and you're going to the toilet like once every 3 days, maybe you just got tons of reflux, loads of indigestion, you really struggle with that, then it could be that that actually is contributing to your anxiety. And for me, I saw this hugely. As I dealt with my gut health, my anxiety really decreased. It didn't completely disappear, but it really reduced. And I so tangibly saw a link between my anxiety and my depression and my gut health. So I got diagnosed with depression when my gut health was potentially at its worst. And again, it's chicken and egg situation. Was I depressed because my gut health was so bad? What started it? Who knows? But there is a definite link between that, and it is supported by really robust research as well. This isn't just Kezia decided that these things are linked. No, this has been a clinically studied aspect, and more research is going into it because people are really finding that with certain things like depression and anxiety, for some people, the standard approach to treating it doesn't work anymore and isn't effective. So number one is, how is your gut health and how are you supporting your gut health? It's a really easy thing that you can do to support your mental health, your anxiety levels, and really help to create resilience in your mind. Because it's things like, you know, we've all heard of some of our neurotransmitters, which are things like serotonin and dopamine. You know, those are probably the most well-known ones. You know what? Serotonin primarily gets made within your gut. So you can imagine if there's an imbalance in your gut, if there's inflammation, if there's very mild damage to your gut lining, then you can understand how this production of serotonin is going to be reduced. And it's so, so important. It's very, it's quite simple when you think about it, actually. It's the same with our immune system. A lot of our immune system is housed, you could say, within our guts. And that's why often a lot of my clients, whatever, whether we're dealing with thyroids, sex hormones, digestion, sinus issues, it always tends to come back to gut health. Another physical thing that could be going on is that your hormones are out of balance. So if your blood sugar is irregulated and imbalanced, then that can lead to a lot more anxiety. And you see that a lot more in children. Often with children, not in all cases, but often in children with behavioral issues, there can be real high, often is often driven by high anxiety, even if it's hidden and the behavior doesn't look like anxious behavior, but it's often driven by this fear and anxiety. And that can sometimes come from them simply having out of balance blood sugar. When your blood sugar is out of whack, meaning there's too much glucose or too little glucose in the blood, that's very stressful for your body, and it does affect your brain because your brain uses glucose as fuel. So if your brain starts to think, oh my goodness, I'm not going to get enough fuel, you can see how that anxiety and that stress would come on the body. Another aspect of hormones is your sex hormones. You know, if your progesterone is a bit low, which a lot of women's progesterone is, then your progesterone is that very, it has a very nourishing and calming effect on the mind, which is why throughout a hormonal cycle, you'll probably find at different points in your cycle, you maybe do have periods when you feel more anxious than other times in your period, or more depressed, or maybe more aggressive. And this is all to do with the kind of fluctuations, the natural fluctuation of your sex hormones, your estrogen, your progesterone, your luteinizing hormone, your follicle stimulating hormones, your even testosterone, all of these different things. But if you're constantly slightly lacking in progesterone, as an example, then that can really impact your anxiety levels. And so it's so, so important that you bring balance to that area. And for me, that's currently what I'm working on now. My gut health is really robust and resilient. I'm about to actually have another test done on that just to double check, which should be really interesting to see those results. But now I'm looking at my sex hormone levels, and I've noticed that I'm suspecting that my progesterone is potentially a little bit low. So that's really what I'm looking at supporting to help with my own anxiety. So this is never just one, this is rarely ever one thing. It's often a blend of different stuff. And for a lot of people, actually, it really comes down to the gut health, to neurotransmitters, and to hormones. And actually, when I talk to my clients about this, they're often totally relieved because they have in their head, oh, I'm just a anxious person. I'm just a depressed person. And I thought that for years, whereas now I don't agree with that. I am not an anxious person. I'm not an anxious woman. When I feel anxiety, it's a sign that my body, there's some imbalance in my body that needs to be addressed. It's not who I am. It's not this lot I got dealt with at birth, and some people never get dealt with it. Sure, I might have some predispositions through genetics and life and experiences, but actually my anxiety levels is a red flag that my body just needs something. You know, our emotions are driven by very physical and cellular mechanisms in our bodies and reactions. Our emotions aren't out with our physical body. So if there is emotionally high anxiety, it's often because there can be an imbalance within the body. So that's number one. Number two can be simply due to bad habits. And I know this might sound a bit odd, but if you have trained your mind to work in a certain way, if you've gotten into the habit of talking crap about yourself, if you've gotten into the habit of playing down your achievements, if you've gotten into the habit of talking your worries all the time, meditating on what could or might happen, then that is really, really a toxic way to be in. And these are habits we can easily form. You know, when we think about meditation, lots of people say, oh no, I don't do meditation, no, I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. But actually, they'll spend all day meditating on what might happen in the future. They spend loads, they've trained their brain to meditate on the crap that might happen. What might happen at work? What might happen when they get home to the kids? What might happen with their finances? What might happen tomorrow? What might happen on next week, next year? And actually, that's a habit that we've gotten our brains into. It's a habit we've created. Just like we can create a meditation habit that meditates on breath and light and peace and being present in the moment, we can also create a bad, more negative meditation habit that's on all the crappy things that might happen to us, that could be and that could happen. And for me, that has definitely been a big part of it as well. I was definitely great at meditating on all the crappy things that could happen. And actually, what I've had to learn to do, and I'm still learning to do, is to take that great energy of meditation and direct it to meditating on being present in this moment, on being grateful, on being so grateful for this moment, for focusing and taking that energy and focusing on breath, focusing on calming down my nervous system, focusing on laughing and joyful things. You know, that same energy. And this process isn't easy. It's not, oh, just change your habit and start thinking positively. This isn't about positive thinking. I don't think positive thinking's, I kind of think it's a bit of BS, to be honest, sometimes, this whole positive thinking. This is actually about reprogramming your brain so that you can focus on things that are going to be fruitful and that are going to lead to positive outcomes in how your brain works. This isn't just about thinking things for the sake of it. This is about taking effort and intention and steering the ship that is your mind and in the right and intentional way. And so what are the habits that you have? Do you meditate on all the stuff that could be, on all the anxious things? Or do you actually use that energy and you learn to and direct that on something that's going to help your body and on real meditation, on gratitude, on practical things, things you can do? And it is difficult. It is a gear shift for your mind. And your mind is always probably going to want to think about the negative and plan all the negative future outcomes. But actually just taking 10, 15 minutes a day just to think, okay, right, I'm going to think about all the good stuff that might happen. I'm going to think about all the stuff I'm grateful for right now. I'm just going to breathe. I'm going to do some breathing exercises to calm my nervous system down, to put my body in a parasympathetic state so that my body can heal and rest. And I'm just going to focus on this present moment. So that's tip number two. Do you have bad habits? And number three, in terms of what could be the root cause, is that there's something much deeper going on. And now this is often the case for a lot of people, and a part of what I think is the case for me. I've realized recently I've done a lot of this step one and step two, but I've still been left recently feeling like I'm dealing with more anxiety than what I deem normal or appropriate for me. And I've realized that there's actually probably some deeper stuff going on, some deeper habits, some deeper pain, some deeper trauma that I've probably never really dealt with. You know, my emotional resilience growing up was, I was quite resilient, but my way of coping with things growing up was just to never talk about them. So just don't talk about them to anyone and don't bring it up. If someone starts talking to you about hard things, leave the room. It was basically just to detach and run away. So as I got into my 20s, I realized, hey, it's maybe not the healthiest way to deal with difficult things, Kezia. And I got equipped with some tools, but I do think there's probably some deeper stuff that I need to deal with, which is why I have my first appointment with a therapist, counselor, whatever you want to call them, coming up this week, which I'm kind of excited about and also, as you can imagine, slightly anxious about, which again is slightly ironic, but you know, it's just real life. So if you feel like, you know what, Kezia, I've actually done the whole gut health thing. I eat fermented foods. I've figured out what foods I'm intolerant to. I don't use antibiotics all the time. I take a really good probiotic. I meditate. I have these good brain habits, but I'm still really struggling with this. Then it might also be time for some deeper support and outside help. And it could be that there's deeper trauma and pain or blocks that are going on. And it's really, really worth, I think, investing time and money in someone whose expertise is really how the brain works. I know this, I've known a couple of people that have really, really struggled with various health issues and anxiety issues. And as soon as they've gone to see an expert who's recognized that there's maybe complex post-traumatic stress going on, or different, even mild cases of personality disorders where trauma causes someone's personalities to split off slightly. It's actually more common than you think. I know it's surprising as that sounds because we only think of it like the movies. And it's, you know, your body is wired to survive and your mind will do anything to help you survive that negative experience, that hurtful experience. So I've seen amazing things happen as people have really deep dived into that. So that is another potential root cause. And that's something that I'm working on just now, hopefully, is spending a period of time really going a bit deeper with someone who's trained and it's their area of expertise and really looking at, okay, what are some of these deeper programmings in my brain and how can I change those and rewrite the script of my mind? And those, because there's still a part of your mind, your amygdala, that's still this very primal part of us that your brain doesn't necessarily want you to be happy. This is something I'm discovering. Your brain wants you to survive. So actually, it's always been like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And so we need to counteract that. And so those are the three potential things. Those aren't the only things. There's lots of other root causes. There's lots of things that could happen within that. But those are things I see most often with clients and I've experienced myself. So when it comes to actually how you deal with anxiety, you've got to get to the root cause and then act accordingly. There's no point in just even necessarily, I know this might be controversial, but my personal opinion is there's no point in me going and getting medication for my anxiety until I know why I'm anxious. If I'm anxious because I do have some genetic predisposition that means my brain just doesn't produce and my receptors don't welcome these specific neurotransmitters, then perfect. Medication is a great plan. But if it's actually because of some deep inner trauma, medication isn't going to help that. It's just going to numb that. It's going to dull that. It's going to numb me out to life. And actually, it's a choice that everyone gets to make and it's everyone's individual choice. But for me, getting to the root cause actually and really looking at why is there anxiety going on? And then from that place, then having a really robust discussion with correct medical practitioners around certain medications, because there is a definite place for medications. But I also know so many people dealing with depression and anxiety who are on medications and it's literally made no difference for them, but they're still having to deal with the negative side effects, which are which do happen with medications. You know, you can read them in the packets, you can go on to different websites where it'll show you the interactions and depletions that you're getting from medications. So this is by no means never go on medication. It's more like before you take that step, before you go in search of a magic pill, take just a bit of time to maybe journal, talk, chat, think through, why could I be anxious? Is it gut health issues? Is it hormonal issues? Are you stuck in bad habits, actually, that maybe you need to do a course of mindfulness or meditation? Or is there actually some much deeper trauma, pain, abuse that you've had in your history that you've not properly dealt with? You've just shoved into a corner, put into a nice little box in hopes it goes away. And consciously, it might have gone away. You might not consciously think about it, but believe me, it's going to come back unconsciously and bite you in the ass in the form of anxiety. So really think about why. Why is this anxiety happening? Because I really think as women, we're not meant to live this highly anxious life. You know, there's actually so much joy for us. And that's been something in terms of dealing with anxiety and practical things that you can do. Really focusing on what adds joy to your life has really, really helped me. So I try to make it a philosophy to laugh easily, to not be one of those people that's like, oh, you've got to tell me the best joke in the world before I laugh. To like literally be easy to laugh, be the first to laugh at something, to seek out things that make me laugh, because laughter is awesome medicine. I'll watch funny videos on YouTube. I'll speak to funny friends. I will watch funny films, all of these kinds of things to try and make myself laugh. I'll put on really awesome, cheesy, horrendously cheesy music and like blaze around my house like I'm on some sort of Top of the Pops, for those of you that are from the 90s, and like pretend I'm a backing dancer and then fall in creases laughing because I'm really not a great dancer. Whatever it is, focusing on what things add joy to your day, what things are going to make you laugh, and really being intentional about adding in those things, just like we do with food, like focusing on adding in the good stuff. Same with in dealing with anxiety. What are the joyful things that you can add in? Who are the people that bring you joy? What are the experiences that you bring you joy? What are the foods that make you feel good inside and out? All of these kind of things are really, really important. So I hope that has been really helpful for you guys. I'm sure I'll give you an update in months to come around my whole experience with going to a counselor and my anxiety levels. But just know if this is you, if you do feel like you're struggling or you feel a bit stuck, you're totally not alone. Like so many of us deal with this at different times in our lives. And sometimes we might have felt we've dealt with it like I have, and then it comes back to bite you on the butt a bit. And that's okay. It's totally okay. We're in this together. We're not alone. And we can heal, you know, we can heal. And that is awesome. So I hope this has been really, really helpful for you. If you want to find out more about Whole Healthy Live podcast, what me and Laura are up to, future events we have planned, free live online hangouts and parties. We're planning a pajama party probably sometime in the next couple of months. Make sure you head to wholehealthylive.com and sign up for our newsletter there. And then you won't miss out on a thing. Thank you for joining me and sending you lots of love. Bye.